I want to thank each of you for two things. One, I know Steve would say the same thing, that as staff, we are very grateful for the generous gift that was given to us as staff as a bonus this year that came, I know, in response to, I guess, a letter that gets sent out. I know something's happening every year, but I never know exactly how it's happening. But we were touched and blessed by that gift. And a second thing that I'm very thankful for is that the elders gave me this past week off to go down to Dallas, where I taught a class with my dad at Dallas Seminary. And some of you know that I grew up in Dallas. My sister still lives in Dallas. And my mom traveled with my dad to Dallas. So it was the first time our whole family has been back in Dallas in probably 25, 30 years, something like that. And to be together and have some meals together. And I was telling Doug before the service, realize that this is probably the last time our family will all be together in Dallas. It was really a precious time. So it was very special from that standpoint. It was also very special because this time last week, I was in the church that I attended when I was in college and seminary. First time I'd been back there, I think, in about 27 years. The last time I was there, Sue and I were I don't even think we were married, or we were just married. And so I went back to the church, and you can imagine that maybe some of you have had the experience of going back to church you haven't been to in years, but in 27 years, I really, the only thing that made me confident that it was worth going back to that church is the same person who was pastor of the church then is still pastor now. I looked it up on the internet and thought, okay, you know, I want to go. And what was really rather gratifying was to run into probably about six different people that are still there from 27 years ago. And three of them, what really amazed me, were from the junior high youth group that I was in charge of 27 years ago. The only difference is they're now 40-something instead of 15, and it was kind of a shocker to them to see an old man and for me to see them as middle-aged people. But it was very, very gratifying to see people you've shared your life with and taught, and they're still walking with God. And so it was a very uplifting time for me. The other thing that I did when I was in Dallas was I taught with my dad at Dallas Seminary, and our job was to teach doctoral students about preaching. As some of you know, I got my doctorate in preaching a few years ago, and I learned from my dad, so I've learned kind of how he approaches things, and so it's really fun to be able to teach alongside him. There were about 11 pastors in this class, and at least three of them were on staff of churches that were over 1,000 people. So there's some really influential people in that class. And our task, simply for about 40 hours last week, was just to talk about preaching. And as we talked about preaching in the course of the class, we studied a lot of different passages of Scripture and talked about how we would preach them and what the keys are to really preaching them effectively. And one of the passages that we talked about had really kind of got my attention. It's a familiar passage to me and probably to you, but it struck me that it's a very crucial passage to be thinking about as you and I start the new year. Because I'm confident of this, that probably as you're sitting there anticipating my sermon this morning, there's two predominant expectations that you have as you're sitting there. Some of you, I want to believe this anyway, some of you are there and you're sitting out there thinking, I wonder what God's going to say to me today through the sermon. I wonder how God's going to bless me because I'm here today. And I want you to know, those of you that have that expectation, you're kind of anxious to hear what God has to say, I really like you. I like it when I know people are kind of excited to hear what's going to happen. But I know because I have been there that some of you are there kind of thinking, I wonder how long he's going to be. And you're kind of expecting to be bored. I just know that there's got to be a few of you here, and I want you to know that I like you too. Because it's a challenge, and challenges are fun. And so I hope that I will be up for the challenge and you will be up for the challenge this morning. Because this passage that I want us to look at is, again, very familiar, but it's a passage that really says that preaching is only partly the responsibility of the preacher. I know that it's very easy for us to have kind of a passive approach when we sit out there and listen to a teacher or a preacher. And we wonder, you know, is he going to be boring today? Is he going to have something interesting to say? And I wouldn't have spent 40 hours with a bunch of pastors if I didn't believe that we as pastors and preachers have a responsibility to do the best job we can to understand God's Word and to communicate it effectively. But there's also a side in every sermon that is totally beyond the responsibility of the pastor, the preacher, the teacher. And that's your responsibility as the listener. And that's really what this passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at today deals with. So I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Again, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture, but I think as we start a new year, I can't think of a more important passage and truth that to be thinking about. Allow me, if I may, to read, starting in verse 1 of chapter 8, just to read this to remind you of what happens. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from town to town, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons came out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell on the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but then they have no root. They believe it for a while, but the time of testing comes and they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Jesus, when he gave this parable, preached this parable, he shared it with his disciples, but he preached it to the multitudes. He was at the top of his form. it had been over a year that he'd been involved in public ministry, and people were coming from everywhere to see it. We know this parable is important because it's recorded for us both in Luke's gospel, Matthew's gospel, and Mark's gospel. And in Matthew and Mark, we're told that people came from the seacoast of Sidon, from all Judea, and they were all gathered to see him. And we know also from Matthew and Mark's account of this that when Jesus was giving this parable, when he was teaching the people, the crowds were so intense that he couldn't just stand there in the crowd and get lost in them. So he stepped into a boat and he preached to the crowd from a boat so he could gain some perspective, so he could speak to people. This was a time when everybody wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. But as Jesus speaks to the people, he begins to speak in parables, and he gives this story. And really, as you read the story, it is almost something of an allegory. And most parables are not allegories, but he makes this equation between the seed and the sower and the soil. And each of them represent different people. And so Jesus wants the disciples to learn something. But after they've heard this story, they don't really understand what it's all about. It's important, I suppose, to understand that parables really are not like illustrations. I think we can oftentimes think of a parable as an illustration, that Jesus says this to help clarify a point. But that's not really what a parable is all about. The word parable comes from two Greek words, para, which means alongside, and balo, which means to throw. So it's thrown alongside, and you don't really understand a parable unless you know the truth that it's thrown alongside. Like, let me give you an example. If I say to you that even monkeys fall out of trees, you may wonder, what does that have to do with anything? But if I say even experienced people make mistakes, then you kind of make this link alongside that truth, that statement that even monkeys fall out of trees. You realize, oh yeah, it's possible for someone who knows what they're doing to not do it right. And that's kind of how a parable works, that it's out there, but until the truth that it's talking about is clear, the parable may not be clear. And that's what happened with the disciples. They heard Jesus talk, and they certainly knew that he was talking about soils and farmers and planting seed. But they thought, okay, I know Jesus is probably trying to say something more than just give us an agricultural lesson. What's going on here? And so they take him aside, and Jesus explains the parable to them. And as Jesus explains the parable, right off the bat, we learn a little something. We learn something about the seed, and we learn something about the soil. Because we learn, first of all, that the seed is, it won't grow just anywhere. The seed is really dependent on the soil. And we're also told, as he explains it, that the seed represents the Word of God. And if you think about the Word of God, at least the way that I tend to think about it, I think of a passage like Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And I think of the Word of God as being very powerful. But in this, as Jesus unravels his parable, he says, no, it's in some ways it's like that seed, that it's dependent. It's dependent on the soil. And of course, we learn a little something about the soil in this as well. And that is that there are different types of soil. That as I look out on you, as I look out on this audience, that each of you is a different kind of listener. And so Jesus explains this. So there's a little something we can understand right off, but as the disciples were trying to understand that, they needed to know more about this. And so Jesus explains to them, again, the meaning of the parables in verse 5, he says, the farmer went out to sow his seed. And, verse 11, he says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Now, one of the most confusing parts of this particular parable is as Jesus begins to explain it to his disciples, he begins by saying in verse 9, the disciples ask him what the parable meant, and he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that seeing they may not see, and though hearing they may not understand. That kind of confuses. Is Jesus trying to confuse people? Well, it's obvious that he isn't trying to confuse them, because when the disciples come to him and they say, what does this parable mean? Then Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to tell you. I don't want you to figure this out. No, he throws out this truth so that those who want to hear it can hear it. The disciples wanted to know. They came to Jesus. They said, tell us, what is this talking about? And so a parable is there. So if you want to know the truth, it kind of makes you scratch your head and say, what is this about? And you begin to ask questions and you begin to learn. And that's what happened with the disciples. And that hopefully is what happens to us. And so what Jesus is saying is that the seed is the word of God, but the soil are different kinds of people. And there are different types of audiences. One thing you can tell if you look at a field, if you're looking at a big, vast, 100-yard field, it's not all the same. There's some parts of that field that are grassy, and some parts that are rocky, and some parts that are really sandy, and some that have just a little bit of soil on them, and then there's rock underneath. I mean, it's just the nature of a field. It's got different types of ground. And Jesus wants his disciples to know, and he wants his listeners to know, that there are different types of listeners. He says, some people are like hard soil. The message comes to them and it just bounces off them like asphalt. If you try to plant a corn crop in a parking lot, you're not going to have very much success. It just can't seep into the ground. He said, now some people are thin soil, that you throw the seed down and it begins to take root. And as it starts to take root, you know, there's a little flower, a little plant, whatever. But then it hits rock and it withers and it dies. And he says some people are pretty good soil, but unfortunately in that soil there's also weeds that are there. And as the plant begins to grow, so do the weeds. And over time the weeds overtake the plant and it's choked out. But he says there are some people who are really good soil. And the seed gets into the soil and it gets down in, and the roots grow deep and the plant grows strong, and they produce a crop that just grows and it grows and it grows. And what Jesus wants the disciples to know, what he wants us to know, I believe, is that each of us can be one of those types of soil. I think he wanted the disciples to understand this because he's sending them out to be his representatives. And they needed to know something that I think the pastors in the group I was with needed to know, that an awful lot is dependent upon us as teachers and preachers. We need to be clear. We need to make sure that we're teaching the Word of God. We need to do it as best we can, but you can do those things and you can still find that it doesn't go very far. Because only part of that is dependent on the seed. The rest is dependent on the soil. And what each of us needs to realize when we're sitting there listening to a sermon, listening to a lesson, we need to learn how to listen. Again, you say, but when he says he's speaking this in parables so that people will see and not see and hear and not hear, is he really trying to hide any truth? And clearly he's not, because he goes on with this story that we looked at. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on the stand so that those can see, those come in can see the light. The purpose is to enlighten people. What Jesus is teaching is, whether people get it or not, his purpose is to enlighten them. The difference is how they listen. He says in verse 17, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought into the ocean, open." But this is his main point, what he's getting at. "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him." Jesus is teaching this ultimately to teach us about listening. If you want to get the most out of a message, you need to do a little soil analysis and evaluate what's going on in your heart and your life. You see, this parable really explains the difference in congregations. One pastor goes to a church and the church flourishes and it grows. And the same pastor moves on from there and goes to another church and it really struggles and dies. Maybe they fire the pastor. Is the difference in the pastor? Or is it possible the difference is in the church? There are churches full of people who just welcome and take in the Word of God. And there are churches that just aren't all that interested. You see that as you read through the Bible and you see the different people that Paul wrote to in the New Testament and the churches he went to. Some were just anxious to learn and grew, and others, not so much. And this explains the difference in people. There are people who are represented by each of these soils. I mean, you can be soil that is hard as rock. I mean, let's face it. You come to church and you have no openness whatsoever to whatever is being said. Maybe you've got theological preconceptions. Maybe you've got sin in your life. Whatever it is, you just want to hear what you want to hear, but you don't want to hear the Word of God. I mean, there are people like that. I don't mean that's necessarily you, but some listeners are as hard as rock. I can tell you this, it's not always a spiritual condition. As a pastor, I can even tell you this as a listener. There are times when you come and it's been a rough night. And I've told some of you this. I preached some of my best sermons to people who were sound asleep. And I was pretty sure they were good sermons, because a few people at least thought they were. But it's very hard to see life change in somebody who sleeps through a message. And it's not always because you can't help it. I mean, I think having had two children, having had a few sleepless nights when they were babies, there are times when, you know, you're just exhausted. But it's a fact of life that the message can be pretty good, and there's reception can be as hard as rock. Whether it's a spiritual bedrock or a sleepy bedrock, whatever it is, there are different types of people and their receptivity. There's some people who are very much like that thin soil. They hear a message, and they're the kind of people that every pastor loves because they greet you at the door and they say, "That was a great message, Pastor. I just so enjoyed that." And then they go off, and that's as far as the sermon ever got. It encouraged them. They enjoyed it. It was a good morning. They were glad they went to church, but it never made it out the door. It just kind of entertained them, but it didn't do anything. And I've frequently told people, I'm not trying to discourage you from encouraging Steve or me when we preach a good sermon, but the reality is you can't really tell if you've heard a good sermon on a Sunday morning. You can tell whether you were entertained or whether you were challenged. But the real truth of a powerful sermon is that the week after and the week after that, there are things that take place in your life that begins to sink into your life and takes root, and something begins to change. But it's pretty easy to be that thin topsoil. And of course, one of my biggest concerns, one of the things is we talked about this in class this week, and it talked about this soil that's just full of weeds, full of all these competing interests that creep into life and they choke out the plant. I mean, that is life here in Westchester County. I know how it is. You come to church and you know the Giants are playing on this afternoon at 1 o'clock, or you know that you have a dinner that you have to go to, or you know that you're getting ready to for a big business deal, or you have homework you got to get to. These things are all there in your mind. And if they're not in your mind, it may be why you're in church. Maybe you're good soil at first, and you take it in. But boy, you're hardly out the door before you're thinking about all the other things that are in your life. And then as the week goes on, whatever took place in church on Sunday in terms of the teaching or the preaching, it gets lost. It gets choked out by all those other things. And you get so overwhelmed with all those other things that nothing really happens. But then there's that soil, that good and that rich soil that takes in the message, that plants the seed deep inside, and it begins to grow, and it grows, and it continues to grow. And those are different types of people, different types of listener. And the thing that I realized in the course of studying this, actually some time ago, is that this isn't, it's, you may find yourself listening to this thinking, okay, person over here that I know, I think they're pretty hard soil, and that person over there, they're pretty thin soil. And you may find yourself, thinking about people's maturity levels. But I don't think this is talking about maturity levels. I think on any given Sunday, we can be any one of these types of soil. So you may be pretty receptive, pretty open soil on one Sunday. But, then things come into your life, and rather than doing any weeding to get them out of your life, you just kind of get overwhelmed by those things. And maybe for a long period of time, you just really find it hard to take in the Word and let it take root. Or again, maybe it's even not something you can do much about, but you come in exhausted Sunday after Sunday, and if you sleep through every sermon, it's very hard to get much out of that. The point is, we can be any of those. Any given Sunday, any given time we hear a good Sunday school lesson, a good sermon, a good message. And that's why Jesus says, be careful how you listen. It matters what kind of soil you are. As we begin 2012, it just seemed to me that it's worthwhile for us to step back and to think, to do a little soil analysis in our lives. And when you come to church on Sunday, if I can suggest it, before you get to church on Sunday, maybe you can do a little soil analysis. I've frequently said to people that if you want to be a receptive listener, it really doesn't just begin on Sunday morning. It probably begins on Saturday night. Because, you know, when you have a late night on Saturday night and you go to bed late and you're thinking about other things late, you get up late and you're in a rush, even when you make it to church, many of you can attest that some of the best fights you can have as a family are between church and home on your way to church. It just seems like the devil seems to work overtime on Sunday mornings. But some of that's because of how we prepared the night before. That's where I think we could learn something from the Jewish tradition of a Sabbath that carries over from one day to the next, from sunrise to sunset. Anyway, the point is, if you and I are going to prepare to be good soil, it doesn't just come when you sit down on Sunday morning. It probably comes as you prepare to listen. And it probably is helped if you can get to church maybe a few minutes early so that you have time to stop and to reflect. It's certainly helpful that as you're listening to the message that you're not just thinking, is this interesting? It may or may not be interesting. But if it's from the Bible, there's probably something there that you can take out of it. We were talking about this in class this week, and some of us who are pastors who've studied preaching are some of the worst critics of preaching. It can be very difficult to listen to a sermon that is unclear, that is boring, that seems irrelevant, and to sit there and not be kind of grading it in my head or thinking about it. And one of the students asked me, how do you avoid that? And it's not entirely, I can't say I do it all the time, but I have to kind of step back and just say, what's in it for me? What is it that God wants me to take away from this? Not being critical of the preacher, but trying to take in the seed. And I've known people who've taken some of my worst sermons and benefited from them. That's a proof to me that it's not all in the preacher. Good soil can take even kind of half-live seed and make something with it. So, Jesus says, be careful how you listen. Realize that we as a church represent different kinds of soils. And on any given Sunday, you can be any of these types of soil. If you take God's word into your life, it produces fruit. If you don't take God's word into your life, you'll find that you begin to stagnate. And even what you think you had can be taken away from you. I think that's one of the things we lose sight of when it comes to spiritual growth. That you kind of use it or lose it. We know that's true in other realms in which we experience in life. I know you work out like crazy trying to get in shape, and then you go through a week or 2 weeks where you don't go to the gym, and you try to get back on the treadmill, and you're just ready to pass out. You know, even the endurance that you built up, you begin to lose if you don't keep after it. I can tell you it happens in the field of language. When I was in college, I went to Costa Rica, studied Spanish in a Spanish language school, lived with a Spanish family for 8 months, and I was pretty fluent in Spanish. Now I can much of the time understand a conversation in Spanish, and I can, with a little effort, sometimes make myself known. But I realize that in 27 years, 20, 30 years, I guess, I've lost a lot because I haven't used it as I should. And God's word is meant not just to be put down in a notebook, not just to be something that kind of excites us for a moment. It's meant to be planted in our lives and put to use in our lives. And so that's why we have to be careful how we listen. Because God's word is meant to be put into our lives and appropriated. If you use it, you'll grow. If you don't use it, you'll stagnate. You could say, use it or lose it. And that's what God's word is all about. So you got to be careful how you listen. Are you putting it to work in your life? Are you thinking about, okay, what can I do with this? How is this going to work? Even if I fail as your pastor or whoever's speaking doesn't give you a great application of that, rather than sitting and thinking, I wish he would give me an application of that, which a good preacher should do, by the way. But even when we fail to do that, as good soil, you're wasting your time if you don't take God's word and plant it in your life. So Jesus, at the start of his ministry, wanted to say to us what I think we need to know at the start of the new year. Be careful how you listen. Use and appropriate God's word so you can grow, or you're going to lose it. Even what you think you had can be taken away from you. So I want to encourage you, at the start of January, as you think about the months to come, think about how you can be a better listener. Think about the things that you're aware of that you can do to be better prepared to take in God's word on a Sunday morning or whenever it is. Think about the things that you need to do, not only in preparation to listen, but when you finish listening, so that it doesn't just bounce off of you, but it takes root in your life. As Jesus said, be careful how you hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear this morning.